Okay, so I'm going to do like I did, I think it was two times ago. I'm going to do another storytelling format. And then after telling the story, kind of share a few observations. And today I'm going to share the story from John chapter 11. But before I do, I wanted to ask a rhetorical question so you don't have to unmute. But I want you to think about this, and that is, have you ever been confused by something that God did or didn't do? Or have you ever been disillusioned by God? Was there something that you really thought he was going to do that he didn't do that just left you kind of wondering or scratching your head? The story of chapter 11 is the story of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So to give the backstory to that, the end of chapter 10, Jesus is in Jerusalem for the feast of for one of the festivals. And while he was there, a number of people approached him and they asked him, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus went on to explain very clearly that he claimed to be the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, the Christ. When they heard this, they tried to stone him. So he escaped and crossed the Jordan, where another crowd gathered around him to hear him teach. We see in Scripture, if you read the Gospels, that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were probably, apart from the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles, the three people that are seem to be closer to Jesus than anybody else. On a number of in a number of places, the Bible says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus at different times. And that's one of the few people that he calls by name. So when Lazarus gets sick in John chapter 11, Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus asking him to come and heal their brother. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he sent word back to Martha and Mary, and he said, "This sickness will not end in death." Well, when Martha and Mary heard that Jesus was coming and Lazarus was going to be okay, they were excited and actually ecstatic because Jesus was coming. But Jesus waited 2 days before he left, and then it took several days for him to get back across the Jordan and to Bethany where Lazarus was. And because it took so long, Lazarus got sicker and Lazarus died. When Jesus got to Bethany, Martha came out to meet him, and she fell down at his feet and she cried out, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." And you can hear in her voice her confusion, her grief, her disillusionment. "I thought you were going to come. You didn't. I don't understand." But she went on to say, "I still believe that you are the Lord, and I believe that God will do for you whatever you ask." Jesus said to Martha, "Lazarus will rise again." And Martha said, "I know, I believe that on the last day at the resurrection, he'll rise." Jesus said to Martha, "Go and get Mary," because Mary didn't come out yet. She was at home grieving. So Mary comes out and she did the same thing. She fell down at Jesus' feet. She was disillusioned. She was grieving the loss of her brother, and she didn't understand. And she said, "Lord, if only you had come, my brother would not have died." Jesus was deeply moved by their grief, and he also wept with them. And then after a while, he said, "Where have you laid Lazarus?" And they took him to the tomb where Lazarus was. Max Lucado wrote a devotional about this, and I'm going to borrow from him in the story. He said that Jesus could have said, "Martha, Mary, you've seen me heal hundreds of people. If I had come 4 days ago and healed Lazarus, you wouldn't learn anything else about me that you didn't already know. Watch this. Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus comes out of the grave. Now, all of a sudden, Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and the disciples realize that Jesus, not only can he heal sick people, he can raise dead people. And they grew in their understanding of just who Jesus was and what he was claiming about himself. Jesus then instructed those around Lazarus to take off his grave clothes and set him free. Several observations that I make from this passage. One, if you go back to the preamble, John 10, some will plainly hear the truth about Jesus and yet not believe. The crowd asked him, "Tell us plainly who you are." And he told him who he was. He showed him examples of why he could make that claim. And yet many didn't believe, and they even tried to stone him. And that's still true today. There are going to be people that are going to hear the claims of Christ as clear as possible, and yet they're not going to understand and they're not going to respond. Another observation is Jesus was okay with people not understanding him or what he was doing. Jesus knew Lazarus was going to die. Jesus knew that Martha and Mary were going to be grieving the loss of their brother, and that they were going to be confused and mad at and just kind of disillusioned with him. And yet he was okay with that because he understood that there was a greater good about to take place. Jesus was more concerned with bringing glory to the Father than pleasing people. Another observation, Jesus identified with and felt the pain and the grief and the emotions that Martha and Mary and those that were close to the family went through. It says Jesus saw their grief and he was moved and he also wept. And we can take from that that Jesus knows what we're going through. When things are going on in our lives that are hard, that are difficult, that are emotionally draining, emotionally charging, we have the confidence that Jesus understands because he's also been there and experienced it. Another observation, Jesus's ways are not our ways. He will use what we might see as bad or hard or confusing to show us more of who he really is. He sees the big picture, we only see through a knothole. Others, and then at the end, when Lazarus came out, Jesus told those that were around him, "Take the grave clothes off of him and free him." And I think that's a good principle that we were never meant to do the Christian life alone. We need community. We need other people in our lives to help us take off the grave clothes, to help us grow in our relationship with the Lord to become more like Him and to walk in the freedom that we were called to. So, whenever you're disillusioned with God, it simply means that you have an illusion of God that needs to be ditched. Let me repeat that. Whenever you're disillusioned with God, it simply means that you have an illusion of God that needs to be dissed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the examples we find in your word. Thank you for John 11 and just the interaction between Martha and Mary and Lazarus and Jesus and the other disciples that were present. Lord, thank you that we see emotion, we see grief, we see confusion, we see a lot of the same experiences that we have today in 2023. Lord, I thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you love us with an unconditional love, that your promise is that you're with us in whatever we're going through. And if we'll keep our eyes fixed on you and hold on to the truths of what the word says about you, we can make it through any circumstance or any season. And coming out on the other side, we can see more of who you really are. Lord, thank you for that privilege and for that opportunity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.